everybody tonight, and looking forward to another night in the Word of God. Amen. It's been great. I want to thank you. I've really felt welcomed, and I feel a lot of love in this place, and I'm not trying to say that it's not like that everywhere, but it's not like that everywhere. Amen. But it's been great. I've really enjoyed it a lot. And I love the little cabin. That thing is, we're thinking about moving here and living there, my family and I. And so we'll let you know what we decide on that. But it has been a joy and a pleasure. Me and the pastor went out today and drove around through Custer Park and got to see some buffalo and some antelope and a bunch of rocks and mountains, which are beautiful. I mean, God's creation is something. And I'm thankful for that, and just thankful for just it's been a good week. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing my family tomorrow. My wife asked me today, "Do you miss us?" And I'm like, "Yes, I miss you." And I guess I hadn't told them that. We talk every day. I don't know where that question came from, but I'm looking forward to seeing those guys tomorrow, and then being with our church this weekend. But I praise the Lord for your church and for what you guys are doing here. I often tell people missions trips, people take them all the time to our neighborhood. And we have several buildings. And so a lot of times people will, if they want to have a low-cost missions trip, they'll bring air mattresses. And we've got ways to separate ladies and men or kids and whatever. And we got showers and kitchens and all that stuff. And so people will eat like a couple of meals there, and then they'll go out, eat a cheesesteak that day or something, and knock doors. And it's a great in the United States missions trip, but it is almost like Central America when you come there. But I don't want you to misunderstand. It's the greatest place I've ever knocked doors. And I've knocked a lot of doors in Arkansas and throughout the United States when I go visit places, and they're very welcoming. They just need the Lord. And so if you'll pray for us, we'll continue to pray for you and praying for the Lord to help us to win that city to Christ. I didn't mention needing support or anything like that to your preacher. I don't come here to do that. I come here to preach. But I'm thankful for if you guys wanted to pray about taking that new church on, we could always use the help on that. And God takes good care of me. I'm fat and sassy, and I do just fine. But we do welcome support over there. But we welcome your prayers more than anything. And we want to win the city to Christ. We want to start another church almost. We're ready to start one now. We just two's enough at this point. But we want to start as many as we can in that city, about every square mile if we could. And I know the Lord's going to do that. And I've got young men coming up and different things that we think that we're going to be like the Antioch of Philadelphia at Liberty and just install men and ladies into these churches and try to win the city to Christ. God's given me a burden and a call for that city. Did not have a burden when I went there. I had a call. I was not burdened for Philadelphia. I did not like Philadelphia. I did not really want to go, but I knew God had called me there. And I was either going to be a coward or I was going to follow the Lord. We followed him. God gave me a burden, and I love it. And so I'm very thankful. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We'll turn to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. And if you'll stand just one more time in honor of reading of the Word of God, we'll read a little bit here. And then we'll look at this chapter in pretty good detail tonight. But I feel like the Lord's given us a message here. There's a couple of messages in this passage. And I'm just praying for which one the Lord would have me to give you tonight. But I know that he wants to give us the message. And so verse 22 of Acts chapter number 26. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He is talking to Agrippa and Festus. Agrippa would be the Herod of the time, and Festus would be the man that was over the province or the area there of Caesarea. And Paul has been in jail for 2 years for preaching the gospel. And now they're letting him speak, and he is trying to give them the gospel to these two men and the chief men of the city that are probably listening in. I had the privilege of going to Caesarea and seeing where Paul was, and so it helps me, but it's wonderful. Verse 22, the Bible says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And can I tell you, you will not continue without God. You need God. We need God. He needs God. Paul was a man of God with God. And he says, "Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I want to thank you for loving us, Lord, when we're so unlovable. Thank you for being good to us. And Lord, thank you for putting us in the family of God. Thank you for giving us a church. Thank you for giving us a preacher. Thank you for giving us a church family. Thank you for giving us the sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for your son dying for us. Thank you for this good life that you've given us. Lord, may we think upon those things tonight as we hear the message from you. And may you speak through us, Lord. Please be with the preaching and teaching of your word. And may you be magnified and high and lifted up. And may folks hear from you tonight. May you change our life that we leave here different. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I love the book of Acts. I love the Bible. I mean, really, but the book of Acts is an exciting book. Many people, I believe, in the front of it, it would say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher say years ago it should the Acts of the Apostles, but the preacher said it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, what God did through those apostles. And we know how Paul got saved, and Paul was on the Damascus Road, and he got saved. God changed his life. God called him immediately to start churches. God told Paul it wasn't going to be easy. We talked a little bit about that last night, I believe. And Paul took this undertaking, and God worked a miracle with Paul. I mean, who would have ever thought that however many years later that they would look back and when they let Paul down with that basket on the side of that building because they were trying to kill him, what was going to happen. I don't think that they understood what they were really doing that night, but they were letting down Paul, the apostle, who would bring the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish folks. And Paul would go everywhere from city to city. He would get, one time he got stoned in Lystra. They carried him out of there. He went to the next place and preached, then went back to Lystra. Everywhere he went, the Bible says that as his manner was, he would go into the synagogues and preach to the Jews. He would preach to the barbarians on the island a couple chapters from now. And he was just a man on a mission. And I love that. And I want to say this tonight, that when we come to this passage of Scripture here, we have to realize that Paul, you know, when you read the book of Ephesians and you read the book of Galatians and you read the book of Philippians, you have to remember Paul was in prison writing those books. Oh, we often forget that, but if we would, when I read them now, I read it in light of that fact. Everything I'm reading, I'm picturing him in a jail writing it. And Paul did not care. Paul was ready to die at all times. Matter of fact, a lot of us will quote that passage, that scripture that says, I die daily. And we will say, you've got to die daily. And that's true. But in the context, Paul was saying, I'm ready to die, and I could die any day, and I'm not afraid to die for the cause of Christ. That's what he was saying in that passage. And so Paul has been in jail for a couple of years. And if we were to look in Acts chapter number 25, we would see that Festus is in control of that area right now, and in Caesarea, and he's got Paul in jail, and Agrippa and his wife, or whatever she was, many people say it was his sister that he's married to, and that's craziness, but they came to town, and Festus says, I've got a guy in jail that's been talking about a man that rose from the dead. And that intrigued Agrippa. And Agrippa says, I want to hear from him then. I want to hear what he's got to say. And so the next day or whatever it was, they get all the chief people of the city and they bring them into probably this Colosseum area that we would see there in Caesarea that your pastor's been to and I've been to. And they're questioning him. And Paul is talking to these men and he's telling them some great things. How Jesus died, rose from the dead, how the prophets said it would happen. And Festus says, you're mad. And you're crazy. And he goes, no, I'm not crazy. I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And then he says, I know the king knows. And he points to Agrippa. And somehow maybe Agrippa or Paul must have known that Agrippa had some knowledge on the Jewish religion, that he maybe understood more than Festus would have. Then Paul kind of draws him in. And Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And that does not mean that he almost had him. And that's good preaching, but it literally meant that you're not going to really get, if you studied out, you're not going to get me that easy. You're not just going to say this and I'm going to turn to Christ. And Paul says, no, I don't wish that you turn to Christ. I wish that everybody would be just like me except for these bonds. And so these two men are listening to Paul. And what they're saying in a sense after Paul gives this great dissertation of how he got saved, what God did when he met him on the Damascus Road, what God had called him to, the purpose and all these things, how he continues. What they were looking at listening to Paul, they basically said this. And this is just my vernacular. He says, that I just feel like they was thinking, Paul, what's the big deal? I mean, really, what is the big deal? What are you talking about, Paul? You're crazy. I don't see the big deal in this whole deal, this whole thing. And I want to say this, that we have many different types of people in our churches, but we'll just narrow it down to two today. And there are people that say, I don't see what the big deal is. A lot of them are Sunday morning Christians. They're not here any other time. They come in, they put the time in, and they're not here today, so I can talk about them. And if they were here, I might not talk about them. I would in my place, but this is not my place. But what's the big deal? Why are we here all week? I mean, do we got to be here all week to know Christ? No, you're not being here all week to know Christ. But they don't find it a big deal. And there's that type of person, and then there are people like Paul. And I imagine Paul would have answered them back if they were talking like Pastor Gates talks. They would have said, what's the big deal? And Paul would answer them back with the same thing. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Have you not been listening to everything I've just told you? I just gave you the big deal. And I want to preach that message to you tonight. He is a big deal. I mean, he shook the world and still shakes the world. He's an amazing, amazing God. When they let Paul out of jail in Acts chapter 26, verse number 1, look at it with me. Bible says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And I think old Paul was a preacher. I just picture him taking that hand like a Billy Sunday and answered for himself. And look what it says. He goes, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Now, don't let this, the old English language is not tricky. You just have to look at it and realize how well it is written. You know, one man told me years ago when I first got saved, he goes, Paul told them, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins. So they need to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So I went to my preacher, he goes, no, that word for means because. Repent and be baptized because of the remission of sins. So it's a wonderful thing, that Bible. And so when he says, I think myself happy, the word think there means he considers, he knows, and the word happy there is the same word in Matthew chapter number 5 for blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. And that word happy and that word blessed is only a word, Brother Sam, that saved people can experience. It is not people at the bar that are not saved that are laughing at a joke and they're happy. That is not what that is. That is something that only a saved person can have. And when Paul says, when they said you're permitted to speak for yourself, he goes, I think myself blessed. Happy, blessed by the best. I am with God. I'm a Christian. I've been changed. That's what all that implies. That's the first thing he says. And so I've never been in jail for preaching the gospel. I would like to tell you, I've told you this maybe this week, that I think I'm a man's man. I still know how to handle myself, I think, and I may, if I was going to jail for preaching the gospel, I think I'd probably stand tall in there, and I'd try to win inmates to Christ. I'd be praying a lot, and then if they let me out, I'd still keep preaching. That's what I think I would do, but I don't know for sure. And when Paul gets called up to say something, and listen, he was not in a nice jail. I mean, this is 2,000 years ago. He was in a damp, dreary, dark place. Now, they would handcuff prisoners or guards and stuff to Paul. We know that because the Bible tells us that. And Paul was always talking about Christ because the Bible says he won some of Caesar's household to Christ. People were getting saved everywhere. And so when it was time for Paul to speak, he, you know, Brother Sam, if he came out and said something like this, I wouldn't be mad at him. Could you just let me go home? I'm sorry. Can I just go? But he didn't. No, he was very excited. And that's why God was a big deal to Brother Paul. That's why God was a big deal, because he never forgot what God did for him. And he never forgot because he always rehearsed what God did for him. It is nothing for us to go into the New Testament and see 2 to 3 times, maybe more, where Paul is reciting his salvation testimony. And we read it in different places in the Word of God. And this is one of them where Paul tells them. And so when they let Paul speak, He says this, and he starts to talk, and he gives them his testimony. He says that he's he was of the sect of the straight sect of the Pharisees. So there was different groups of Pharisees. There were some of them that were just like there's different groups of Christians. There's some of them that are dead set in and believe every bit of it and want to live for Christ. Then there's some who are just saved. And Paul was one of those Pharisees that believed what he was doing was right. He was after God. He thought he was doing the right thing by doing what he was doing. And he told them that. And then he said, you know, I'm only doing it because of the promise of my fathers that God said that it was going to happen, that someone was going to rise from the dead. And he begins to talk about God rising from the dead and then how he gave his voice against people to be put to death. And then he gets to verse 13. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about them, round about me and them which journeyed with me. And he talked about how he fell to the ground, and Jesus came to him and said, why kick us against the pricks? Or it's hard for thee to kick us against the pricks. And Paul was under conviction, and he gives that testimony. And then he says that God tells him in verse 16, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for a purpose. Hey, listen, God didn't save you but for a purpose. I mean, he has a purpose. And this is, we have the greatest examples in the Bible. They all had a purpose. And it says, what was that purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto thee. Paul wants you to be a witness. A witness is an eyewitness. Christ touched me. He changed my life, and I want to tell you about him. I'm witnessing what God did in my life to them. And that's what Paul was to do, and that was his life, and that's what God had for him. And so when Paul's giving his testimony, these two men, they think he's crazy. What's the big deal, Paul? Well, let me tell you what the big deal is. He did something for me. He came to me, he made me a minister, he had a purpose for me. He gave me some great instructions. And listen, I'm going to tell you, there are people who believe he's a big deal and people who don't believe he's a big deal. And I'm talking about saved people. And I believe this, the people who don't believe he's a big deal any longer, it is because they have forgotten what he did for them. And it's not, well, he just saved my soul. No, Paul tells Agrippa and Festus what God called him to do. And God called Paul to do what God had already done for him. You understand that? Let me say it again. God called Paul to do what God had already done for him. And so let's look at it real quick. And I when he said, Paul, what's the big deal? Well, let me just give you what the big deal is here tonight. And I want you to think about this with me for a little bit. Verse number 18, he says, Paul wants you to open their eyes. Talking about the Gentiles. Open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light. Paul, what's the big deal? Well, hey, God gave me a spiritual vision when I got saved, Sam. I mean, he turned the lights on for me. Listen, you're talking about a guy who, my mouth was filth. My eyes were filth. These hands were filth. I wasn't having a great time, but that's who I was. And then I get saved, and not overnight I become, you know, I'm against everything. Little by little I learned and read the Word of God and went to church and God started working. And then it's unbelievable that he gave me this new vision. And that's what the big deal to Paul was. Paul remembered being on the Damascus Road when God closed his eyes and opened them back up and said, Paul, I want you to go. And Paul went into Arabia for 3 years. And Jesus, I believe Jesus personally taught Paul for 3 years in Arabia. And Paul had this, God was all with him, just teaching him and showing things. Hey, do you remember when God turned the lights on for you? I'm just saying, you know, I got saved and I didn't quite understand it all, brother. They said, Burton, if you want to ask God to become your Savior, you can. All you got to do is turn to him. And they gave me the plan of salvation. I was on my knees on the front row. And I have that pew at my house in my family room to this day. That pew, that area. And I said, yes, I want to get saved. And I got up and they said, Burton, why don't you go to the back of the auditorium and folks are going to come by and give you the right hand of Christian fellowship. We're glad you got saved, buddy. And people came by. And I didn't understand everything. But I went home, called my granny, called my mom and told them what happened. You heard me say that. And man, then I've had a desire to go back the next week. And the next week. And the next week. And boy, I started thinking, this is really actually pretty good. I started looking forward to Sundays. I'm like, this is actually pretty good. I was still struggling with sin. I sat on that third to last row almost every service. And God started opening my eyes. And then eventually, you know, things looked a lot different. I mean, things that never bothered me before suddenly bothered me. Not because the preacher said they had to bother me, but because the Holy Ghost said it bothered me. Do you remember when you got your spiritual vision? Paul never forgot his spirits. Paul sat by while they put the jackets of Steve, all those men that killed Steve, and laid their jackets at his feet. He condoned it all. Paul wreaked havoc on the church, hauling them to prisons, splitting families up and husbands and wives and all that stuff. I'm just telling you tonight, Paul never forgot what happened to him. That's why he was a big deal. What's the big deal, Paul? Hey, he turned the lights on. He gave me a spiritual vision. And the Bible says that he told Paul, listen, take him give him that spiritual vision, but to take him from the darkness to the light. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God did for us when he did it. He transitioned us. He didn't say, I want you to turn the lights on, but he said, no, I want you to take them, taking them from darkness to light. That is us. I've never thought about this until I preach this message quite often, but I preach it in a long time, but never thought about that, brother. He told Paul to take the people that get saved from the darkness to the light. give them that spiritual vision, but then and then help them. Hey, Paul remembered when he went from darkness to light, when things bothered him that never bothered him before. When I get around people and they cuss, it doesn't matter if they're lost, whatever. I hate it. It's like a knife. I can't take it. He changed my life. That's why he was a big deal to Paul. That's why he's not a big deal to others, because they forgot what he did for them. This little passage of scripture says everything that God did for us, everything that God did for Paul, and everything that God wants us to do for others. It says, taking them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now, I don't go out door knockings and say stuff like, hey, did you know your father is the devil? I don't say that, but it is the truth if they're not saved. And so we're in a spiritual war. Paul, you're going to turn your lights on. You're going to take it from the darkness to light, but you're also going to take it from Satan to God. And Paul knew he'd been taken from Satan unto God. You read his letters. Paul said he was the least of the apostles. He was the chief of sinners. He did it ignorantly. But then God turned his lights on. Hey, do you remember any of this tonight, receiving a spiritual vision, realizing you went from darkness to light, realizing that Satan was your father and now God is your father? See, that'll put a little bit of a fire under your feet, make you want to do something for God when you remember what he did. Paul never forgot what God did for him. All we have is record of Paul repeating what God did for him often. Then it says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. You know, I imagine when Jesus told Paul that, Paul probably thought, man, he forgave me for a lot. And listen, I realize that there are people in here that are nowhere near what I was as an unsaved person. But you needed the same forgiveness as I got. And had you not gotten forgiven and gotten saved, you might have done worse than I've done. And whether you did worse or just a little bit, you're a sinner and you need forgiveness of sins. And God forgives all sin. I mean, it's all under the blood. I love that. I get the forgiveness of sins. I mean, God, I didn't deserve to be forgiven. I can't believe you would forgive me. And when I first got saved, I still didn't believe. I thought, man, I mean, they don't even know what I did. I don't think I can be forgiven for what I've done. Boy, I've read that Bible through and through. And I know that God forgave me of my sins, that it's all under the blood. And God doesn't judge me. He sees me according to his own son now. Hey, do you realize God forgave you of your sins? And listen, some of us might have some stuff in the closet that nobody ever will know about. God forgave you of that. My wife and kids will never know things about me that no one will ever know it. But God knows, and God forgave me of it. Hey, you remember you got forgiveness? I mean, he came by, he forgave you for your past, present, and future sins. It's all under the blood. That's a good thing. Hey, Paul, what's the big deal? Hey, he's a big deal. He gave me a spiritual vision. He took me from the darkness to the light. He took me from Satan unto God. He forgave me of all my sins. Then it says, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. We not only get the forgiveness of sins, but we get an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. I mean, it is reserved. I went to Seattle, Washington years ago and had a car reserved to drive, and I got there and I said, I have a car. My name is Burton Gates. And she goes, sir, I'm sorry. We have your reservation. We just don't have your car. And I said, well, then you don't have my reservation. I mean, if you have my reservation, you would have the car. And I didn't let it. I said, you know, and she got me hooked up with another one. Hey, that's not the way God is. No, it's incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. It fades not away. It's our inheritance. He's given us the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment. The Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. We've got it. We know he's coming back. Salvation is a three-part deal. You get saved, you get sanctified, and he picks up what he bought. But I'm just telling you, God does that. And that's what it says, an inheritance among them which are sanctified. He not only gives us an inheritance, but Sam, he cleans us up.
Right.
I mean, he continually cleans us up. I didn't have to get cleaned up or clean myself up. I had to make the right decisions when God showed me. But God's the one that cleaned me up. And God's still cleaning me up, and I need to be cleaned. I'm still got this bad. My wife today, she said, "Burton, I'm thinking about with all the ladies after Mother's Day having a mother and child picnic in the park." And listen, I'm going to tell you my first answer is to anything and everybody. No. No, why are we going to do that? And she goes, "Well, you don't have to do anything." I'm just thinking, I said, "No, I think, why it's Saturday, Kara." And I mean, you know, she's like, "Well, the ladies thought it would be nice to play some games in the park." And I'm just like, "No." And then I get off the phone with her. I'm like, "Why would I say no? Why would that even bother? Better have a reason to say no. I'm just negative and I'm a sinner." And I text her, "I love you. I think it's a great idea. I'm sorry for being negative. I think it'd be a great thing." And my wife knows me well enough to know that that's coming later. You know, it's no, but it's going to come down, and I'm going to get right. And listen, what is that? Well, I'm a sinner, but I've got an incorruptible inheritance, and I'm being cleaned up as we go. And I'm thankful for the sweet Holy Spirit. When I get off the phone, I'm like, "I can't believe she wants to do that. That there's no sense in that. Mother's Day is past. We don't need to do anything after Mother's Day." And my wife, man, and that she's going to be the one working for all that. I can't do anything. What would I do? I mean, I don't know what women want to do with their kids at a picnic. It's not like it's going to be anything to me. And she'll plan it all out, and I'm like, no. And you know, I hate that. But I'm glad God still works on me and still cleans me up and still does something. Hey, listen, that's why he's a big deal. He turned your lights on, gave you a spiritual vision. He took you from the darkness to the light. He took you from Satan unto God. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's given you an incorruptible inheritance. He sanctifies you. And then look what it says. By faith. All of that is done by faith. Man, what a God. Paul explains that to these men, and they don't even get it. And that's what's hard for us as Christians. We tell people, you know, my church, I'll give you the address. You can Google Earth it. And, man, they're within an hour, probably at least 100 people walk past that front door of that church. And probably 35% of them are going to be drug addicts. And they're down and out. They're hurting. If we're out there, we talk to them, try to get them saved, whatever we can do. But I one day thought, man, they passed right by the answer. God's in this place. We can teach them about the Lord, and they're looking for something the whole time. And the only reason I go out that door to talk to them is because I know what he did for me, and I know what he can do for them. And I still remember when God turned the light on, and then when things got harder to do. I mean, I still was a drinker and a drug addict after I got saved, but it was not easy anymore. It was very convicting every single time I did it, to the point where I would cry out and say, "God, I'm so sorry. Why do I keep doing this? Help me. I can't quit." I begged him, and he helped me. And it was convicting, and I know what he can do. And you know, you've heard that song, "I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a savior he is." I mean, he can do it. But if we forget what he did for us, and Brother Sam, I've been thinking a lot about you and your brother, and my kids, man, they've never done anything like their dad. They're sinners, don't get me wrong. I was on FaceTime with them. They were in a park tonight, and all they did was throw shoes at each other, yell at each other, and run around and try to hurt each other. And my Kara's sitting there just laughing. All right, we gave up on them, man. They just let them do it. And then Dale bought some new sneakers, and Millie's trying to step on them. He's like, "Millia, these are $300 sneakers." And my wife's like, "You didn't pay $300. Stop saying he paid $300." He goes, "Mom, they're worth $300. I only paid $100, but they're worth $300. He buys them from some guy that sells sneakers. And they're arguing and all that. And I'm like, that is the worst that happens in my home with my kids. Man, I'm blessed. He's mad because she's throwing grass at him. She takes off running. The dog's leash gets caught in her leg. She trips, falls down. The little puppy, I got not a puppy, but a little Pomeranian poodle that's getting dragged down the grass. And me and my wife are going, man, we're so blessed. Isn't this a great life? My three kids are arguing in a meadow over nothing. And the whole world around us is pulling their hair out, fighting and nastiness. And I got saved, and God changed our life, and my kids get to grow up in that. And they'll have decisions to make. They may not make all the perfect decisions, but I'm going to be there for them. When they make the wrong one, I'm going to be ready to take them back, help them, whatever I can. But they're blessed because God did something for them before they ever were them, right, when he did it to me. And my mom and dad got saved, and it's such a good thing. Listen, is he a big deal to you tonight? Because he's not when you forget what he did for you. And if you'll go through and think, well, he did more than write your name in heaven. He did an incredible work. And boy, hey, I'd like to give you this track. Here you go. I tell people, why don't you go in a grocery store and take that thing and go, he is a big deal. You need to read this. This is a big, big deal right here. And so, well, I could never do that. Well, you could, and believe me, if you did it once and walked out and got over yourself, you'd feel pretty good about it. Man, I just did that. And the whole town might think you're crazy, and that's okay. But you remember what he did for you, so he is a big deal. I mean, you don't have to slap the track down and do that, but if you forget what he did for you, you'll never witness to nobody. Paul said, God, he says, I continue until this day because of God, witnessing both to the small and to the great, that what happened with Jesus, how he died and rose again, and what the prophets said would happen. And they said, Paul, you're mad. He said, I'm not mad. That's truth and that's soberness. Agrippa, you see it? No, Paul, you ain't going to lead me to Christ that easy. Paul, Agrippa, I wish everybody get what I got except these bonds. Man, what about you tonight? Is he a big deal? Or have you forgotten? Now, I'm not mad at you for forgetting. It's not hard to do, because there's a lot going on in our lives. I mean, be honest. No matter what you got going on, there are things that we think about a lot sometimes before we ever think about what God did for us. But you ought to rehearse it every day. There's usually not very many days that I don't go through and see that apartment in El Dorado, Arkansas, in my mind and think, man, them boys came by and got me. I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful I got saved. My son's 15. He's thankful he got saved. Or 17. Thankful he got saved at 15. My daughter KK, she got saved. Well, I was preaching teen camp in West Virginia. And on that Wednesday night, I went to this church that supports us. And they had another preacher preach that night. And on the way back to the camp, KK calls me and says, Daddy, I got saved tonight. And I would have said, you know, just to be honest, they're not watching. KK is a great kid, and all my kids are pretty good kids, but I think she got saved when she was younger. But she said, Dad, I couldn't get any peace, and I wanted to make sure. And I asked God to save me tonight. And that preacher preached on Naaman and leprosy. And I thought, KK, that's great. And Amelia got saved. And they all had to have reassurance of those as preacher kids. And listen, my son and my daughters have come to me with sin in their life, not when they got caught, things that have been going on or something in their life, and said, I'm sorry, I don't want to live like this, please forgive me. And we didn't catch them. And I said, man, what a blessing. Holy Spirit told them that. Because a lot of people have to wait till they get caught. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to them, and we're blessed. And so I don't know what it's like to live as a growing up in church. I know what God did for me, but I know a lot of people. I'm a friend of mine, Kenny Baldwin, good friend, got saved at 4. My assistant pastor, Brother Paul, dad's a pastor. He got saved in his freshman year of Bible college. I met another guy just recently, got saved, a missionary got saved his senior year in Bible college, grew up in church. Doesn't matter when you get saved, but realize that had you not gotten saved, there would have been no spiritual vision. You would have been in darkness, and you would have liked it. It wouldn't have bothered you. The Bible says that they don't get saved because they like darkness more than they like light. And they're okay with darkness. And you're not okay with it. And that's a great thing that you're on a Friday night. We're all tired. We've been here every night. Somehow we get tired sitting in church every night. And I'm with you. I'm tired too. But I'm just saying, I ain't done anything. I've been sitting in the room relaxing all day. But I'm telling you, it's a great life. If you go out forgetting what God did for you, you'll never witness. But if you'll rehearse what could have been, Sam, you could have been me, and a lot of people like me don't ever get out. I mean, they don't get out. Now, you know, my kids, you know, we used to worry about them watching Mickey Mouse because he would spin up a little spell, and we're like, no, turn this off. We ain't watching this. This is crazy. It's Mickey Mouse. I mean, that's how we raised them. Because we want to keep them away from evil and give them a chance. And we think it's working. We think it's great. Now we go soul winning where evil is all around us. And people are saying stuff. And the last Saturday, my daughters were out witnessing. And there was Brother Andrew. And Andrew's a man's man. He's tough. And I always say, when my kids go, you make sure there was somebody that's tough or got a gun on soul winning. We've never had a problem, but it's my kids. I want to protect them. And KK said, Daddy, one of those black Israelites came up to us the other day and was talking to me and Josiah. And Josiah is a black girl. And she's KK's best friend in our school. And he's telling us, Josiah, you need to come with us. You're black. You're part of the children of Israel. That's what they got this weird thing going on with these black people that think they're the Israelites. And KK said, Daddy, he kind of worried me a little bit. Brother Andrew was right there, though. But, Daddy, he needs to be saved. And I thought, man, that's a blessing. Because she could have walked away and said, man, that guy's an idiot. I wish something bad would happen to him. But when you get saved and you realize what God did for you, it ought to give you a desire to want to tell somebody else. None of y'all were in jail before you came. Did anybody get picked up tonight from the county jail? And they brought you here? Oh, that's what I thought. Nobody. So we're not in jail. We got freedom of religion. You live. This is awesome. I don't get to say this everywhere I go. You live in America. Matter of fact, this is America, South Dakota, man. You're in America. I'm going back to communism tomorrow. But I'm going to sit right in the middle of that communist area and preach the gospel because of what God did for me. And I'm going to tell all the drug addicts I can, hey, listen, he came and got me. He can do it for you. And you can tell all the people here, he came and got me and he can do it for you. Hey, don't ever forget what God did for you, because if you do, he won't be a big deal. And then you'll just be religion. And God didn't die for you to sit in church and be religious. He died so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. You know, abundant life is not sitting in church going through the motions. Right. I mean, it's not. But God has a plan for all of you. And I hope that you'll make a decision to choose the Lord and remember what he did for you. Let's bow our heads and we'll get together and pray here. Father, we love you. And Lord, I'm thankful that you are a big deal to all of us, God. I can tell as we preached it, God. And Lord, I'm thankful that you saw fit to save us from the penalty of our sins. And Lord, when you did that, something miraculous transpired. We did have a spiritual vision. We saw things different. We were translated from a world of darkness to the world of light. Matter of fact, Lord, your Bible says we are light. And God, you gave us a new father, new ownership. You forgave us of all our sins. You gave us an incorruptible inheritance. You're cleaning us up. You do it all by faith. And it's only because we turned to you and asked you to. And Lord, that's a blessing to have that, God. May we be a lighthouse to anybody and everybody at all times of our life. May people see something different in us, even if we don't get a chance to tell them, they would see that there is something about that man or about that woman. And God, may you do a mighty work in our life and helping us to remember and help us to rejoice in that, because you're good and it's a wonderful life. Lord, we love you. We need you. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to come to the altar, you can. You can come pray. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for all of us.
Amen. Let's just make sure that God is a big deal. I mean, we know he's a big deal. Sometimes we forget it, and we just get off on the sidetrack and get ourselves focused on temporal things that aren't that big of a deal. And I hope that he's a big deal to you. Appreciate the preacher. I think God's a big deal to him. I don't think he's perfect, but appreciate the fact that he came, preached with us this week, and appreciate you all coming. Many of you came every night, and he's a big deal, and he's worth it. And even coming forward and praying and talking about to the Lord about what you heard after the message, and that's a big deal too. A week from tomorrow, some of us are going to go to Rapid and learn how to talk to people about the Lord. Just maybe relearn it, maybe get some more encouragement and ideas, and that's going to be an awesome privilege. And then it'll challenge us to go wherever we go and talk to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you get in your routine, you forget. And then it's like, well, I gave them the track last week, you know, and it's a small town. We talked to them before. And so you just have to figure out new ways to share the gospel with people. And if he's a big deal, he's a big deal. And sometimes we might just say, you know what, I know you're probably annoyed with me talking to you again, but this is important to me, and I'm trying to let you know it's important. That's what Paul was saying. Turn them from darkness to light. And you know, Paul saw people get killed for Jesus. Paul saw that people said it was a big deal. Stephen taught Paul it was a big deal. And we just need to teach people and show them with our lives that he really is a big deal. I hope we do that. Let's pray that we will. Let's stand to our feet. We'll close in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the night. Thank you for the week. Thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word. Thank you for Brother Gates coming all this way. I hope that we are a blessing to him, and I hope that we can be in the future as we pray for his ministry and support what's going there in Philadelphia. Help us to be aware of the big deals that go all around all over the world right now, all the different ministries and missions, and right here at home. Help us to understand that you're a big deal, and you're worth talking about, you're worth worshiping, you're worth living for. Help us to serve you and focus on you and not focus on anything else. Help us to teach with our lives, with our mouth, with the way we walk, that you are truly worth talking about, that you are truly worth living for, that you are the big deal. Thank you, God, for saving me, for saving many in this room. I do pray that you'd help us to see more saved soon. I pray that we'd see more baptisms. I do pray for those that are hurting, that they'll be healed. God, help us to focus on you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.